You're listening to a WebYeshiva.org podcast. Visit www.webyeshiva.org to take part in our fully interactive online yeshiva. Visit blog.webyeshiva.org for more free downloadable Torah content.
Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast. Welcome to this week's podcast. This is actually the last podcast of this series on Tehillim. And so for this week, I've chosen to take a look at Mizmor Kuf Nun, which also happens to be the last of Sefer Tehillim's 150 Prakim. Some of you who have been with me from the beginning might recall that for the first Tehillim podcast, we looked at Perek Aleph. So I thought that for today's podcast, which is our last, it was only appropriate to teach the last Perek. This Mizmor seems to have been chosen to be the last Perek, right, when the Mizmorim were organized for the Book of Tehillim, because it's actually an appropriate end for the book, as we shall see. I've mentioned in the past that the Book of Tehillim is divided into five sections, and that each section has an ending, right? So, for example, at the end of Perek Mem Aleph, which is the last Perek in the first section of Tehillim, the concluding pasuk of that perek is Baruch Hashem Elohei Yisrael meha'olam ve'ad olam, amen v'amen. Right, so it's like a pasuk that kind of summarizes or somehow ends the section. So Mizmor Kuf Nun, which we'll see, has a similar theme: the idea of praising Hashem, the emphasis of praising Hashem, right, the what it is that we are doing in Sefer Tehillim, serves not only as the end of the fifth section, but of the entire book. So all the more reason that it's an appropriate mizmor to learn for this, our final Tehillim podcast. Today, when we learn Perek Kuf Nun, I would like to concentrate on the last pasuk. But as usual, let's first do a quick run-through of the whole mizmor. This mizmor, which you will likely recognize as one of the mizmorim, which we say every morning in Psukei Dezimra, is essentially a call on the part of the mishorer to praise Hashem. And the mishorer suggests, or actually commands, those listening to praise God in all sorts of various ways. Like, essentially, he's saying, praise God in every way you can. Right? Hallelujah, hallelujah, el bekotcho. Halleluhu birki auzo. Praise Hashem regarding His holiness, regarding the fact that He dwells in the heavens or that He created the heavens. Halleluhu bigvurotav. Halleluhu karov gudlo. Praise Hashem's mighty actions. Praise His greatness. Halleluhu b'teka shofar. Halleluhu b'nevel v'chinor. Praise Him by playing the shofar, right, making music with a shofar. Use that as a means of praising God. And also by playing the kinor, right, a type of stringed instrument. Halleluhu betof u'machol. Halleluhu beminim v'ugav. Right, praise Him by playing drums, right, and drums, and by dancing, right. It seems that because the drums would often accompany the dancing, that's why the two are paired together, right. Think about Miriam, right, at Yam Suf. Halleluhu b'minim v'ugav, right, other types of instruments. Halleluhu b'tzilzalei shama, halleluhu b'tzilzalei tshuah. Praise Him using the tzilzalim, right, these are another type of instruments, right, which would produce different types of sounds, tzilzalei shama and tzilzalei tshuah. And then we have the last pasuk, right, which is the one I'd like to concentrate on, which says, kol hanshama tahalel ya hallelujah. Right, all or every hanishama should praise God. Right, now you see that I didn't really translate the entire pasuk, because translating, as you know, would mean choosing an interpretation. And what I'd like to explore now is a few of the ways that this pasuk has been understood, particularly the word hanishama. The word nishama, right, which we usually interpret as soul, right, or as one type of soul, where we have a nefesh, we have a neshama, what exactly is the distinction between them? It actually means breath in biblical Hebrew. In one particular case, it might mean spirit, right, which is like, you know, pretty close, or maybe even soul, if you want to, you know, in that sense that we usually understand it. But the origin of the word is breath. for example, in the pasuk that you're probably familiar with from the creation of man, right? When Hashem breathes life into Adam HaRishon, ve'ipach be'apav nishmat chayim, right? The breath of life that Hashem breathes into Adam HaRishon. So there also, it could be understood as a soul, a spirit of some sort. And we're going to return to this pasuk a little bit later in the podcast today, right? But again, the origin of the word is breath. Probably the most common way of understanding our pasuk, kol hanshama tehalel ya halleluya, and understanding specifically the phrase kol hanshama, as seen in example in the Dat Mikra commentary and in most English translations that you'll see as well as others, is that everything that breathes, right, should praise God. Right, kol hanshama, everyone who has breath, everything that has breath within it, everything that breathes, should praise Hashem. Right, so what is happening in this pasuk? After the Mishorer implores all of his presumably human listeners to praise God using dance and song and musical instruments, etc., he then widens his audience and he states grandly that all living creatures, all breathing creatures, should praise Hashem. Right, this brings to mind other compositions that we're familiar with. For example, Nishmat Kol Chai, which we say on Shabbat morning, which has a similar theme, or Perek Shira, right, a composition in which each type of creation sings a different song to Hashem. Right, the songs are different psukim, which somehow connect to each of those different animals or different things from creation. Right, and of course the concept, right, of things in nature praising or singing out to Hashem is found over and over again in Tehillim itself. In our wanderings through various prakim of Tehillim, in our various podcasts, we have encountered all sorts of breathing and non-breathing creations, singing, dancing, clapping, shaking in fear before God, animals, plants, trees, mountains, right, all somehow reacting and in that way praising Hashem. Now these creations, right, in these different examples that we've seen in Sefer Tehillim, these creations sing the praises of God, of course, not by actually singing out loud, right? There's no music actually coming out of their, in quote, mouths. They're not playing musical instruments, although in some of the cases that we saw, there was a certain noise that the trees, for example, might make, or an exploding volcano, for example, right? But again, they're not singing in the way that we sing. But their way of praising Hashem is simply by being what they are, right? All of creation, just by existing, just by doing the remarkable things that they were created to do, sing of Hashem's greatness. There's a different interpretation of our pasuk, which says, which connects actually more to some interpretations that we will see later, which says that it's the breath of a human being, right? The fact that we breathe in and out, that itself is a song of praise to Hashem. Right? Kol hanshama, all of the breaths that human beings do, just the fact that it happens, right, is praise to Hashem. Right. This reminds me of a conversation I once had with my father, where he said that people often point out all the things that go wrong, that people get sick and all things go wrong with the human body, and that he, right, as a doctor, would, while obviously recognizing the things that go wrong, he would also be awed by the fact that it ever goes right, that the human body or any animal creation is so complex and intricate that the fact that it ever works, right, is a miracle. You know, that we see every day, just not necessarily always appreciating it. And so that's similar to what we see with the rest of creation, right? That just by being what they are, they sing of Hashem's greatness, because Hashem is, after all, the one who created them, right, in all of their wondrousness. This interpretation offers one explanation of what we, right, the sayers, the singers, the writers of Tehillim, are doing, right? What is the project, so to speak, of Tehillim? That we are essentially imitating the other creations, right? Who, according to Tehillim, right, are so good at singing God's praises, right? We are, what Sefer Tehillim the writing of it, the reciting of it, the repeating of it, the singing of it, is basically our way of imitating the rest of creation, who by their very existence sing praises to God. This, of course, is not the only interpretation of the pasuk, right? The Ibn Ezra, for example, connects the last pasuk, Kol Hanshama to Hallelujah, Hallelujah, to the theme of musical praise that we see in the rest of the Mizmor, right? He points out that Hanshama here refers to the breathing in and out required to play many of the aforementioned instruments, right? That the Mishorer brought a number of examples of ways that we should praise God, including these instruments which we have to breathe in and out of in order to make them play music. And then his last sentence implies, right, that all of our breaths should be used to praise Hashem. This interpretation takes the pasuk out of the realm of the whole animal kingdom, and it keeps it within the human realm, right? We're no longer having the Mishorer implore or turn to the entire world of nature and say that Kol Hanshama, every breathing creature, should praise God. Rather, we're now staying within the realm of the human, right? The pasuk is simply an emphatic restatement of what has been said before in the Mizmor, that his human listeners should actively and constantly praise God, right? Using the tof, the machol, minim v'ugav, and last pasuk, using every breath that they have to praise Hashem. Other interpretations as well emphasize the importance of human praise, right? That is the human beings who are being called upon to praise Hashem here. Already in the Midrash, you see this in Midrash, Reshit Rabbah. We also see it in Yalkut Shimoni in a slightly different way, as well as many later commentaries who are playing off of the Midrash, right? So, for example, Rabbi Levi b'shem Rabbi Chanina, al kol nishima v'nishima shehu noshem, tzarich lekales lahakadosh baruch hu, shene'emar kol hanishama tahalelia. Right? So what does Rabbi Levi say here? That human beings, for every breath that they take, should sing praises, right? Lekales, sing praises to Hashem. And this is slightly different than the interpretation I quickly mentioned before. Before we said that just the fact that we breathe, that itself is praise of Hashem, right? Just like the way that a morning glory opening in the morning is a praise of Hashem because it's so beautiful, right? The act of our breathing is praise to Hashem. Here, Rabbi Levi takes it a step further. Not that the thing itself is ki'ilu, it is as if it is a praise of Hashem, but that we as human beings are required to see, to recognize, to appreciate every breath that we take in and out, and be brought, because of our appreciation, to praise Hashem. Right? So it's not that the breathing itself is praise of Hashem, right? But rather that we have to recognize the greatness of our breathing and that should bring us to praise Hashem. And that, according to Rabbi Levi, is the meaning of the pasuk Kol Hanshama Tehalelia. Now, of course, you might say that animals breathe too. But here, specifically, we must be talking about humans, because only humans, right, can fully comprehend the fact that every breath is a miracle, and as a result, choose to praise Hashem. Right, that is a human thing, right? And this idea is further developed, it seems, in the commentary of Mitzudat David. Right, he writes, "Kol Hanshama v'Gomer, Kol mi sheyesh bo nishama v'nefesh misakelet tahalel ya." Right, every person who has a nishama, right, and a nefesh misakelet, which means like a reasoning soul, right? These are terms. Which I'll explain in a moment. Right, but here, clearly, neshama, he's playing off of neshama in the sense more of a soul, right? That which makes a human being a human being. These are the people who are required to praise Hashem. And this seems to be based on ideas, right, which are found, among other places, right, in many of the Midrashim and the commentaries on the Pasuk, which I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, Vayipach be'apav nishmat chayim vayyi adam lenefesh chaya, that Hashem breathed the breath of life, the nishmat chayim, into Adam HaRishon, and he turned into a nefesh chaya, a living creature. We don't have time in this context to read and interpret all of these different midrashim and commentaries inside. But for example, if you look at Rashi on that pasuk, which is based on a Targum, one of the Aramaic translations, as well as the Radak and others, they connect this breath of life, this nishmat chayim, which was breathed into Adam Rishon, to the uniqueness of humankind, right? The neshama, right, which according to these same interpretations contains within it, the ability to reason and to speak, right? That's what was breathed into Adam HaRishon, according to these interpretations, right? These are characteristics, of course, which distinguished humans from the rest of creation, right? Their ability to speak, their ability to reason. It should be noted that not only playing musical instruments, as noted by the Ibn Ezra, but speech as well requires breath. As implied by these sources, which I've just mentioned very briefly, which connect the neshima of God, right, the breath of Hashem, the neshama of the first human, and the ability to speak, right. So it is everyone who breathes this type of breath, right, everyone who has a neshama of this sort, the Mitzvot David says, who should praise Hashem. So these interpretations, right, these last few interpretations, see our role as singers and sayers and writers of Tehillim differently than the first interpretation that we saw. If there, right, we are imitating the rest of nature when we praise Hashem, we're using them as an example of what we should do. According to these other interpretations of Tehillim, Tehillim, the enterprise of Tehillim, is completely human in its nature, right? It is when we take the thing which sets us apart and makes us special, right, the reasoning and the speech, to and use it to praise Hashem, right? We might be inspired by the world around us, by nature, etc., but we take all of that to a new level, right, of appreciation and of articulation, which only we as human beings can reach. Now, regardless of what the pshat on the pasuk is, what is interesting in these different interpretations is it goes beyond our understanding of this particular pasuk, because it's really, right, two different ways of looking at and appreciating Tehillim, right? So this is just something small to take with you as we finish this Tehillim podcast series together. Shabbat shalom u'mivorach.